Mesilas Yesharim talks about Kabbalah, a terrible thing. Kabbalah will destroy you. Where did Mesilas Yesharim get it from? Got it from Pirkei Avos. Hakina v'atayi v'akabbalah. Ah, here's the chatz. The shechin is on. It says, Hakina v'atayi v'akabbalah, Matzilas Adam in Olam. Kabbalah's a terrible thing. You lose your Olam Haba. You lose your Olam Hazit. It's Motzi Adam in Olam. You have to run away from Kabbalah. If you really want to destroy your neshama, and they're trying to give you Kabbalah, you have to run away from Kabbalah. As a matter of fact, I had an idea for myself. This is perfect. Sometimes I go to weddings, and sometimes they feel bad for me. You know, I don't really, wasn't so much sliach in a couple of things I tried. So they want to give me kavod, so they call me up, you know, for a kibbutz. So I thought of the perfect thing for what I really want for my avodas Hashem. They should get up there, you know, the brother of the chassan. He's always like the guy, the MC, calling people up, and they should say, mechubed with cleaning the bathrooms and washing the dishes both during and after the wedding, el chananim. Like that would be like that would be a great kavod. What are people running after Kavod for? Kavod destroys you. So that's the Mesilas Yesharim, and that's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. That's one hand. On the other hand, we find something very interesting in Chazal, and not only in Chazal, in the Pesukim. In almost every place that you see the concept of Kavod, of honor, it's in a positive context. As we say in Ivrit, Behekshir Chiyuvi. Isn't that interesting? That Kavod should always be positive? Can you give me any examples? Like, Gadol Kavod Abrios? So you see, the Gemara in Brachos says, Kavod is so important, it's even Docha Lo Sase. That's very, very important. Where else do you see Kavod's count positive? Well, it says in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that Yehei Kavod Chavercha, Chaviv Alecha Kesholcha. Your Kavod of your friend should be as Chaviv to you, as beloved as your own honor, implying that your own honor should be beloved. So the way I feel about my honor is again, I'm a vaz in my honor. What do you mean, my honor? Who am I? All this honor stuff. It's like, you know, if you say about me, oh, Elchanan Erman is a Rodev Kavod. Right? So according to all the Sifim in the Mishnah Berurah, and the Shulchan in the Mishnah Berurah, same author, of the Chafetz Chaim, Shmiras HaLashon, you're over on either Lashon Hara, or I hope Motzi Shemra. Yes, in Lashon Hara is if it's true, and Motzi Shemra is if it's false. You say Elchanan Erman is a Rodev Kavod. Is that good or bad? It's terrible. But yet, it says that you should love your friend's honor as much as you love your own honor. So that means honor is a good thing. So that means if you say that I'm a Rodev Kavod, that means that I'm running after something very positive. Every Rosh Chodesh, I don't know about you guys, but I put my talus over my head, and I shake like a lulav on sukkahs, like a tree in a forest on a stormy winter day, and I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can you do me a favor? Tain li osher v'chavod. Anyone else do that? I ask him this book, and I'm not even embarrassed. I'm always the loudest guy in the shul, you know, unless I'm here where Rav Cohen is, but I'm saying when Rav Cohen's not, so I'm screaming, give me Osher v'Kavod! Have you ever thought of, so the Osher we can all identify with on some level, but the Kavod, what are we asking Kodesh Baruch Hu for Kavod for? Isn't that silly, a little bit? It's also embarrassing that you have to go ask him, you know, please give me Kavod. So the whole notion, it's very, very interesting. But you see, if we're davening for it, it's obviously something very positive. I would say the Osher, it's hard to get. You know, when you're in my position, like you just sit and learn Gemara all day, the Osher is not going to come. But like we say, HaRachamani Yifarnaseinu B'chavod. Just, the Parnas is not going to be money, it should at least be covered. I got this bro, what am I going to live on? The people, I should stand up when I walk in the room, and this, and walk me in, and walk me out. So we're davening for Kavod. So you see Kavod's in a positive context. What else do you see Kavod? You see with the Big Day Kahuna. A Kohen has to wear the Big Day Kahuna. What does the Torah call Big Day Kahuna? Kavod v'Tiferet. So you have to wear Begadim of Kavod. And let's say the Kohen's not wearing his Begadim. The Avodah doesn't count. It's like your mother doing the Avodah. Nothing against your mother. But women can't be, could do the Avodah in the Beit HaMikdash. Yes? So their home is their Beit HaMikdash. So the Kohen isn't a Kohen if he's not wearing his Big Day Kavod. It says in the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan would call his clothing Mechubdase. He would call it his honor. That honors him. That's what he said. Recently I was talking to a guy, and he says, I started talking to him in the third person. He's wearing a frack. A frack's like a long black coat. And he's older, a little bit, than I am anyway. So I'm speaking to him with Kabbalah. He looks like a Talmud Chacham. That's why Talmud Chacham usually wear fracks. So he says, what are you talking? You know, he's American. I didn't realize he was American at first. What are you talking about? I'm a regular Joe. So I said, that's what Gemara says. Kama ilmale hayyoma kama yosef ika b'shuka. If not for Matan Torah, how many Joes would be walking around the street because of Matan Torah? So he goes, yeah, I'm a regular guy, what do you this? So I didn't say it to him because I didn't want to be offensive, but if you really thought you're just a regular Joe, then you wouldn't wear a frack, right? I'm saying you don't see bar mitzvah boys, you know what I mean, wearing a frack. You obviously, you're showing you want to have a beged of kavod. That's a beged of kavod. So, and we see that hush of people really wear big day kavod. You know, the Rosh Hashiva wears a Rosh Hashiva's hat. And they wear, in America, it's not minig anyway, it's not minig, Yeshiva's Havani, it's Ilchanan. But Soloveitchik used to wear a short coat and a gray hat. So his Talmidim don't want to feel that they're more chashuv than their Rebbe. But in other yeshivas, the Rabbanim are wearing long coats, and you can see who the Rabbanim are and who the cleaning staff is, yes? So again, you see that the clothing, the kavod of the clothing is something very important. So I've been trying to prove that kavod is something very positive. Pasuk says, kavod chachamim yinchalu. That chacham will get kavod. It says about Torah, if you learn Torah, vimina, orech yamim vimina, on the right side you get orech yamim. What about on the left side? Osher v'kavod. So you have the kash on Osher. So I think you limud Torah when you learn like Rav Avadya Yosef. Rav Avadya Yosef started out a very, very poor man. The story goes, his father had a vegetable store, and he needed his son to work there. So Rabbi Ezra Atiya, who was the Rosh Hashiva of Parat Yosef, he went up to Mr. Yosef, Rav Avadya's father, whatever his name was. I don't think the last name was Yosef. Was it?
I think the father's name was Yaakov.
It's very confusing. It's Yosef, Yosef, Yaakov, Yosef, David, Yosef, Yosef, David. I can't deal with you Sfaradim. You know, get last names like Steinputzer or something. You know, Yosef is the first name and Stein, whatever, is the last name. But Yosef, David, Yosef, Yosef. Anyway, so it was Yaakov. Yaakov, Yosef. Yaakov, Yosef is just Nishter.
Yeah.
Very, very chashuv. So, how do we get onto that? So he said to him, I'll work in the store, and you let your son learn. So Rav Avadya was very, very poor, and he couldn't afford to buy books, so he'd take them, borrow them, learn the whole night. But now, when Rav Avadya is like, let's say he's a little bit short, you know, like me sometimes, I go to the Makol, I'm a little bit short, all he has to do is pick up the phone, dial any number in Flatbush, you know, and deal. Yes, and he has $1 million. That's Rav Avadya, doesn't have to go very far. So when you're on that much reg of learning, you also get the Osher, you also get the Kavod, and you also get Baruch Hashem, you also have the Richus Yamim, Yamim Ayimei Melech Tosif. So you see again that the Chazal are very into Kavod, and as a matter of fact, they even tell us that 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva died. Why? Don't know who Kavod Zeb is there. So what does that mean? It means Kavod is very, very important. So the Shaila is, if Kavod is so important, then why are Chazal telling us to stay away from Kavod? And if they're telling us to stay away and run away from it, then why are we davening for it? So what's the obvious Lomdish answer? Yes, what do you say?
Tzvei dinim
in Kavod. That's it. That's where you have to go, right? It's mitbakesh. It has to be. Because if we see Kavod in a positive context, if we see Kavod in a negative context, it has to be. There are two types of Kavod. There's a positive and a negative. So let's talk about the positive. I always like to be positive. The what was that line I quoted recently? About optimism. I think that a pessimist is an optimist with experience. What did I say?
A pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity.
And oh, sees that every difficulty. Gvaldik, that was for Winston. So the so what was it? Yoni, good. You have the keys. That's it. So afterwards, we're having a pop quiz in the latest post. What did I say at Fairway about eating? Are you living to eat or are you eating to live? Okay, in any event, just like this. So really we have to go now to a Bala Maor. The Bala Maor was Reb Zrachi Alevi. He's very, very chashuv Rishon. So he has a hakdama to Maseches Brachos. And his hakdama, he says, he defines what the neshama is. He says, ha-neshama nikret kavod. He defines the neshama's kavod, and he marshals a proof text. I'm trying to get a job writing for Art Scroll. So I figure if I use sentences like that, they'll hire me. Marshals a proof text. I'm really not trying to get a job with Art Scroll, but I really like using fancy words. Especially in a lecture hall. Instead of a shiur room. When you're in Israel, you know it's a shiur room. But when you come to the university, it's a lecture hall. So what's the ride from the pasuk? No. Like this shalosh shittus in it too. It says ura kvodi, ura nevo v'chinor ayu shachar. What is ura kvodi? Let my soul awaken. So kavod is soul. What else we say every morning in davening? Leman, now it's a song they play at every wedding. Leman, Leman, Leman. I was always wondering, how come in the Siddur they skip before Leman? Leman, 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 Yizamercha.
Kavod,
v'lo yidom. So, they used to say Polish jokes, even though it's not nice, because many of us are descended from Polish Jews. But how many people in a, formerly, we don't make, well, I guess a dumb poll. Polish minion? They say 15. Because Hoshia Zamecha, Varina Zecha, Urem, 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 Urem. So the point is that we say Lamain is Amercha Chavod. What does it mean Lamain is Amercha Chavod? In order that my soul should sing to you. So I ask you, sweetest friends, is the soul something good or something bad? Excuse me, Kavod, the soul is Gvaldik, thank you. Is Kavod something good or something bad? Not only is it can't be defined as good or bad, it's life itself. If I define the soul as Kavod, as King David did in Psalms, he had a little room in his hotel over there where he would write Psalms. He would get the Ruach HaKodesh, he would come down, Ahmed would bring him his lunch. The King David has a lot of Ahmeds. English speaking Ahmeds. Shmuel Tzvi, you've been? Me and Shmuel Tzvi were hanging out there this Sukkot, two of us. It's like Yemos HaMashiach over there. You know, because Yemos HaMashiach says that all the goyim are going to run to serve the Jews. That's one of the biggest kashas on the missionaries, if you ever happen to meet one on the street. So, that says it. The Asid Labo, at the end of days, that the Gentiles are going to run to the Jews and ask to serve them. So, if we were rejected, why would they still come to us? Elamai! So the, Lamai is Amercha Chavod V'lo Yidam. So, Reb David HaMelech defines the soul as kavod, and kavod is the soul. So that means that if you don't have kavod, what don't you have? Life. You don't have existence. You don't have a soul, because if you don't have a soul, you can't live. Reb Yisrael Salanter has a big yisod in psychology. Anybody taking psychology 101? This is psychology 102. Reb Yisrael Salanter says, there's a halacha that you're not allowed to say Gesundheit! Okay, this way you're not allowed to say in the middle of learning Gesundheit. That's the halacha. But if you say the halacha, then it's not Bittul Torah anymore. So that way I gave you the bracha and a sutta. Right. There's a pharmacy in Jerusalem, a sutta. I'm also wearing a sutta in Italy, they call it a sutta. Where he's so solid, the biggest self. He said, if you take a yid and you take all of his kavod, or a goy also, you remove all of his kavod from him, he would die on the spot. If you convinced him beyond the shadow of a doubt that he's be'emes worth nothing, he'd lose it. You know, they say in Nevardik, in Musar of Nevardik, was shiflus ha'adam, how low man is. And you figure, if you're so low, so who am I? How can you be a balgaiv? How can you do an aveiro? Who do you think you are? So in Nevardik, this is the story. You could tell, I see most of you guys are single, tell it on a date, it's fun, it entertains the girl. So, even though usually when I give a girl share, I also tell the story, she probably went, if she's a good girl, so Mamela, don't tell her, because if she didn't hear it, then the rise, she didn't come to my share, then it's a suffix, if she really, anyway, so he says, oh, I'm a nothing, I'm Cornished, I'm zero, I'm the dust of the earth. So a new bracha comes into yeshiva, and he sees a whole base medrash full of boys, and they're all sitting there, and they're saying, ich bin Cornished, I'm a nothing, I'm a klum, I'm the dust of the earth. I'm smelly, horse meat, whatever. So he doesn't know what to do. It's Mr. Seder. He doesn't want to look different than everybody else. He sits down. He's chuckling. I'm a nothing. I'm a zero. Da, da, da. So one of the older brachon comes up to him. He says, the chutzpah you have. It took me 6 years to become nothing. And you're already nothing on your first day. So that was their musr. That you're real. If you're really convinced you're nothing, you would die on the spot. So some people, Taina, that what drives man is pleasure. That's what man wants most in this world is pleasure. But the Rizosan says, I not like that. Because if you take somebody, you give him a lot of pleasure, but without kavod, he wouldn't enjoy. You invite somebody to King David for a good Shabbos afternoon buffet, all you can eat until you get sick to your stomach buffet. And they call it an all you can eat, but we know that it's all you eat because you get sick to your stomach. You're thinking, I'm paying $180 for this. How am I going to actually eat $180 worth of food? So you just try and you try until you think I can't anymore. So you invite him to the King David, you invite him to your table, and you say to him, I'm sorry, we don't have a seat for you, but under the table you have a plate with his name on it. It's his spot. Yeah, a picture of him, what do you call him, Spot? And it's like, and you say to him, okay, you, like a dog, you eat from that plate. So even if you put the good food in there, you wouldn't enjoy it. Why? It's hana, but it's without cover. It's hana with a bizayim. So all the hana you're going to get in the world, if it's mvuzadik, if you think, stam, a thought came to mind probably because I just took the subway, but somebody gives in to one of male's most basic taivas. So there is hana there, but let's say he would like do it and he knows that like everybody is watching the video, which is going to happen after 120, something to think about. See, he wouldn't enjoy it. His parents are watching, his grandparents, his uncle, his aunt, his rabbeim, his sister. He wouldn't enjoy it. It's hana, but it's a bizayon that everybody sees him doing the avera. So what man really wants, even more than hana, is kavod. Because kavod is the etzem haneshama. And the more kavod you give somebody, the greater you make their neshama, the more you strengthen their neshama. You're mechazik their kavod. And the more you take it away, the more they become less of a human being. Or Huttner, I didn't see this in the Pachat Yitzchak, but did a computer search about this because I wanted to know everything there was about kavod, all 60,000 sforim can tell me about. And that was what was shocking, by the way, that almost every source that I saw was positive about kavod. So Rav Huttner has a kasha. He says, a good lamdish kasha. He says, how come we know that if you embarrass somebody, it's like
killing him.
Why?
Because
you take the blood and it's drawn from their face and they become pale. It's a temporary death, but death nonetheless. So, and it says that Amavim Pnei Chaveru Barabim, it's like he killed him. It's even a discussion. Is it one of the big three Averos? Is it an Avizrayu Deritzicha or not? It's a big thing in the poskim. So in Pashtus, it's not Yahar Val Yavor because, you know, if you would... A person would die, so dying is permanent, embarrassing somebody is only a temporary death. But it does have a certain level, the status of killing somebody. So Frechter Futner, if you wound somebody, you're also taking their blood. Just like if you embarrass somebody, you're taking their blood, and it's like killing them, because your blood is drawn from their face. If you wound them, it's also taking their blood, and it should also be like killing them. So why doesn't it say, Kol achovo b'chavero, ki'ilu, Harga. So what's the teretz? So in Kabbalah, in Machshava, you have a concept called Sura Sa'adam. The form of a human being. What a human being is. If you embarrass somebody, you've taken away their cover. For those few minutes, they lose their Sura Sa'adam. They're not even a person because you've taken away their neshama. And it's not permanent, but malikat lakula, malikat lapalga. You partially killed them. If you wound somebody, they still have their Sura Sa'adam. 1 ounce less of blood. Are you less of a man after you've donated blood? You're not the person you once were. You're the same guy. A little bit less blood. So wounding somebody is not like killing them. But embarrassing them, you remove their tzura sa'adam. Temporarily. So therefore, and not completely, because if you'd really convince them that they're nothing, then they would actually die. So that's just, I don't know if it's never been tested, this theory of Rabbi Sol Salanter. But... there's a lot of truth to it. I don't know, literally die, but that's who we are, and we all need to feel that way. Everybody needs to feel important. So, the Maral gives a little bit of a different definition, really the same, but he calls kavod the tzelem. Is that the tzelem? I thought that connects to Rav Soloveitchik. What Soloveitchik said, what's tzelem Elohim? What's tzelem Elohim? He says, what's unique about Hashem? There's nobody else like him. No one, you ever meet anybody like Hashem? Nobody else. So what is a Tzelem Elohim? If I say you have a Tzelem Elohim, what am I saying? There's nobody else like you. So then you define, so then what's Kavod? Kavod is showing somebody else how there's nobody else like him in the world. That's the Tzelem, that's the Kavod. That you have that unique neshama that nobody else has. And what's taking away somebody's Kavod? You're just like everybody else. That's why I'm such a big critic of mass education. What's mass education? Basically the same. We're all the same. So we're going to teach you all the same things, and we're going to try to make you all the same profession. That's what we're going to try to do. And we can't do that, because everybody is so different. So there's a concept called homeschooling. Where do we find that concept in our sources? In Chazal. Chazal say that the ideal system of education is homeschooling. What? Chanuch l'nar al pi darko, and the only way to do it al pi darko is not in a class of 40 guys. because then you have to be telling all 40 guys the same thing. How is it shaykh that all 40 guys need the, are going at the exact same pace of understanding and need the exact same hezber and are bothered by the exact same questions and need the same approach to learning because they all have the same brain and they all think the same? How can that be possible? It's impossible. Because everybody is so incredibly unique that the only way to do it properly is by homeschooling, white only. Because your father can't sit with you and learn all day. I'm saying you learn with him for 20 minutes sometimes, you begin to get on each other's nerves. And your father isn't always shy of the learning, and your father also has to earn a living, and a million other reasons. So Rav Fitner also says, usually I always say this at home, because at home I'm every third word out of my mouth, these are the Sfasemis or Rav Fitner. So recently I made a new joke in my house and I say, Rav Fitner said, and then I look him up and I say, do I ever quote him? And then she says, yeah, once or twice. So he has a famous essay to educators, where it's very important if anybody here is going to chinuch, which you all are, because you're all going to have children. So when you have a child, you have to remember, Rav Fitner says that the whole system of schooling, they always say the Jews are the greatest, because mandatory schooling for all was instituted by the Jews 1,500 years ago. Whereas other cultures, you know, many of them, I don't want to say anything, oh, that was racist or this or that, but let's just say that not in all cultures were they always so educated, and do they always put such a stress on education. Yes, we're all aware of that, whereas we do. So they say, oh, that's so great. No, that's not so great. It's not so great that we put such a stress on it, because organized education, mandatory education for all in schools, means that everybody's being taught the same thing. We don't want that. We want everybody to be taught at their own pace, at their own unique pace, according to their own unique talents. And there are many different levels of intelligence, and there are many different types of intelligence. So you can have one person who's intelligent, you know, I was reading recently in a book, they were talking about an educator was a Jewish book, I don't remember the name of it, but I bought it at Manny's for 5 shekels. I knew I couldn't go wrong. So he was just talking about like the different types of intelligence. And there's some intelligence that's mathematical and abstract, and there's another type of intelligence that's interpersonal. And there's another type of person. Some guy is great at science, and in English he's absolutely horrible. And there's musical intelligence. You know, some person, you put him in front of a Gemara. I once knew a boy like that. You put him in front of a Gemara. Mom, you got to say a lot of Pirkei Tehillim if you're going to get through this, so okay. But you put him in front of a musical instrument, and it's like Isaac Perlman. You know that famous story of when he lost in the middle of the famous concert, and one of his strings broke? It's not true. It can't be true. Somebody researched it. It can't be, according to the dates. But it's a great story. And he was in the middle of giving a concert, and one of his strings broke of his violin, and he ended up giving the whole kind of doing a most amazing piece with one less string in the violin, which if you know how to play the violin is virtually impossible. I don't know how to play the violin, but I'm guessing that's what they say. That how do you do it? You're missing a very important string. But he did it anyway. Why am I telling you that story? Because so if that's his intelligence, then he has to be taught. First of all, he should put a stress on music because that's his intelligence. And also, he can be taught. He can be taught musically. Like I know a few brothers. This is a crazy idea, but it's unbelievable. They put Mishnayos in music. So if a person musical, like give him 10 minutes, and he has all Mishnayos Baal Peh. Like my son sits at home and he has to memorize Mishnayos. That's what they make the kids do. So he's actually musical, my son. That's why I told my wife I want to get. But I heard that you don't have all the Masechtas yet. We have to get all the Masechtas. You have to get Kinim, Arov, ever. So you have to teach kids differently. So the idea of Kavod, if you have a Talmud and if you have a child, it's looking at the Talmud and saying, you're different than every other student in my class. And your way of thinking and your love and how quickly you understand things. And some people have a very quick head and they want to go weiter, weiter, weiter. And some people like to go very, very deep. They like to take one line of Tosis and just ponder it for a month. Some people like philosophical questions. And some people, they're just not so interested. You know, it is what it is. There's free choice. There's determination. What's for lunch? They're into cooking. So that's also, there's another type of intelligence that some people are, you know, master chefs. You don't have to, there's some part of the brain that's working for that, not mine. Yes, my wife's a little bit more, but they're actually pondering that just today. I'm pondering that a number of professions are like that, but one of them is chefs. That the world, almost every woman in the house is the cooker, prepares the food, and almost every world famous chef is a male. And there are a few things like that. And designers, like every woman is more into fashion than men are. Yes, generally. And almost every great fashion designer is a male. Like, why would that be? So somebody had a theory, but this is being recorded, so I'm not going to say it. But it fits in beautifully with the Maharal and a Rav Kook. Half flavor fell. There's nothing against women. Women happen to have many talents that men don't have, like they can multitask. That's what I was telling Denise on the phone the other day. My computer went down in my parents' house. So Denise got on the phone and she was trying to help me fix it from her little station over there on Mars. And so she was doing this and she was doing that, and I assure her that women can multitask a lot better than men. And they also generally cook better than men, and they're also more in touch with emotion than men, and a lot of qualities they have, which is weird. Also psychologists. The world's greatest psychologists and psychiatrists are generally men. Even though when it comes to feelings, like, you know, you're out on a date with a girl and she wants to talk about feelings, and then you're like, oh, it's Mariv. So, but they're all into feelings. They want to talk about their feelings and their emotions and how they feel and why they feel. They're just generally a lot more into that. So, we get to the conclusion, and that is that the kavod. And by the way, this is it also applies to Eidus. If a person has no self-respect, he's pasul Eidus. You know, that's what Rambam says. A person walks around without a shirt. Kavod is something very, very important. So kavod means that the negative. What's the negative kavod? The negative kavod is what are people saying about me, and what title do they give me, and what shir I'm in, and all of these superficial things. That's the kavod that you're supposed to run away from. But the real kavod is who you are. That's what it means. We talk about a positive kavod is that this person is really very special and very unique. So the lo nagu kavod zeh bazeh, the way I see it, is that they were sitting together and learning b'chavrusa. It says 24,000 pairs, right? 12,000 pairs. But they didn't give the other kavod. They didn't make the other feel like he was special. They were just like everybody else. What happened? I was once in somebody's house. I wasn't there to collect money. I was there. I don't know why I was there. But he gave me because he's used to people like me being there to collect money. So he said, yeah, people like you are a dime a dozen. Because he looked at me. He saw, you know, I had a white shirt and a dark suit and a black hat and a beard. So people like you are a dime a dozen. I repeat that in my mind often because we like to torment ourselves with things that were hurtful. And I was thinking, yeah, that's what he thinks. And really, we think that way about other people. Right, you're at the Kotel, somebody's coming to collect. I mean, you've seen him 20 million times even though you've never seen him before. Right? This is all the same. And by the way, it's the same thing with the collectors. Because a lot of times you'll give the collector and then he'll come back to you a minute later. And you'll say, but I just gave you. The answer is, you're all the givers are the same also. You're just somebody to give. But that's not the way we're supposed to look at the world. Not all the collectors are the same, and not all the givers are the same. Everybody's special. And that's the kavod. Kavod comes also from kaved. Kaved means you're heavy, you carry weight. And what's the opposite of kavod? Zilzal. Zilzal, zol, it's cheap. There's a leaf called the zalzal that just easily falls off the tree. So that's the idea. So our job, and that's the tikkun of Rabbi Akiva, 32 days. What's 32 the gematria of, obviously?
Leif.
And also kavod, obviously. That the 32 days, they didn't give each other kavod. So they were dying for 32 days. And then in the 33rd day, they stop. Why? Because then you make the tikkun. Because what's the other, what's 32 plus 17? Probably 49. And what's 17 the gematria? Probably tov. So leif tov. So they didn't have kavod, and now the tikkun is the tov, is the leif tov, and a person with a leif tov is about giving kavod to other people. And if you give kavod to somebody else, it doesn't make you any less. Why? Because the same kavod you give to him, you're giving to yourself. Because what's the kavod you're giving to him? You're special. In the same way you recognize his uniqueness, you recognize your own. And that's really where it starts. If a person understands it himself, there's something about him that nobody else in the world has, even though nobody else sees it. Nobody else sees it. You're all the same. You're all a bunch of wild guys. Go to Williamsburg now. Where you learn? Yeah, I've seen you a million times. Yeah, but don't. Let me guess. You're studying accounting. And you go to shiur in the morning. So, but it's not true. It's not true. Every guy is really special. Every accountant is really different. You want to say something? Or yes?
Based on the chat, that's also why they long ago covered.
You know why?
Because they took away the cover from each other so much that they. That's why they. Why did they Dafka die?
Yeah, why? Dang, why did they die? Maybe. Because that's the Mida Keneged Mida. There's no cover. There's that. You're taking away the Neshama. We're taking away your Neshama. I never thought of that. You see how much I thought about this? I didn't think of that. In any event, so that's our Avodah. The Avodah is to take your roommate and take your friend and then meet Hashem when you find the right girl and when you have children. Maybe. Just make everybody feel special. Because everybody really is. It really is a thing. And everybody deserves kavod. Everybody deserves kavod. Every human being deserves kavod. Everybody's b'tzelem elokim. And if it's kavod is tzelem, then everybody deserves it. And you give a Talmud Chacham more kavod because there's more to be mechavod. Because he's an enhanced tzelem because he's closer to Hashem and he is more das Hashem. And the more you learn yourself, the more kavod you give yourself. And that's something that one should strive for. You should strive to enhance your kavod by really making it something pinimistic, that you really are filled with kavod. You're filled with you carry a lot of weight. Kavod milashon kavod. So that's the avoda. It's a big avoda because it's hard to see what's so special about people because you don't really know them. You don't really know people so well. I always find that out in shiduchim. Because whenever I think I know somebody, and then you start asking questions, then you end up finding a million things that you never knew about the person before. But the people, you can start with the people you know best. The people you know best, you really know things that are special about them that nobody else has. And you don't have to wait for the guy's afruf or sheva brachos to say how special a guy is. You can even do it even before he's engaged. It's okay. Just to make somebody feel special. And you can even say something nice about the person. Just to make somebody feel special, because everybody wants to feel. That's interesting how basic a human trait that is. There's never been a person in history that I've met anyway who didn't want to feel special. Want to feel, no, one of the herd, you're just like everybody else. Everybody wants to feel that way. So your avoda is to make yourself feel that way. And then the people close. And then as you get a little bit older and you expand your horizons, then every person you meet, you just try to see something about them that nobody else in the world has. And then you really want to give them cover because you really appreciate it. It's not fake. Sometimes people give fake cover. And that's like not something to go for. But to give the real cover that you really appreciate what's special about them, that's something we should all strive for. So we should, the cover of our friend should be as chavi to us as the cover of ourselves. And if we do this, there's no doubt that we'll always serve Hashem how? With simcha. 2, 3, 4. Nine, 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 nine